is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we conclude the series, The Prodigal Son. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Alan Jackson with Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. And turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And the things things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Verse 25. So you see how the Father's attitude was? And you see the Son's attitude. He was truly repentant. And he begged forgiveness. And the Father, did he forgive him? Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Verse 25 says, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He was probably out working. He was a worker. He had been faithful. He had stayed there all those years. The young son went out and partied and blew all the money, everything he had. But this one stayed home and worked. He was faithful. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he, that's the servant, said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Your father is, we're celebrating because your father's so happy that your brother has come home. He's come home. And your father is so happy that he's safe and sound. He's not out of the world. He's right home safe and he's sound. I spoke with a mother just a week ago. She was telling about her daughter, and her daughter going out in the world was leading a wicked life. And she said, I'm so worried about her. She's only 21 years old. She doesn't know. She trusts everybody. And I'm just so worried. She's living alone. And she was right to be worried. This father was so happy that the son had returned. Now, what was the attitude of the second son? Well, let's just see. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. His father came out and said, why won't you come on in? Your brother's here. He's safe. He's sound. Come on in and you know, drink with us and eat a good meal and let's celebrate your brother's return. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I've been faithful to you all these years. I never transgressed against you. I've done what you said. I've worked very, you know, mightily, but you never gave me the fatted calf so that I could celebrate with my friends. You know, what am I? I'm the son that was faithful. I'm the older son even. You treat me like this, and the younger son, he doesn't deserve it. He should be out, he should be out there in the filth and the dirt. He spent all the inheritance. But you take him back in. You even put a ring on his hand. Now that's the world standard, isn't it? Isn't that what the world thinks? I mean, stick it to the guy. He deserves it, right? Now, God must think a lot different than we do. And, you know, indeed, the Bible says that God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Huh. We cannot think like God does. We think like, many of us think like the world does. And you know that the second son was right. He deserved it. I've read of people who, you know, they stayed with their mother and some woman and very, very faithful to their mother and helped their mother out. And the first daughter went out and just blew everything. Spent all her money and partied and danced around and, you know, she played the fiddler. But the second daughter stayed home, was very helpful to their mom and, you know, in her old age, took care of her health, and finally one day the mom died, and then second daughter found out that a good deal of the money was left to the first daughter. And she said, well, she doesn't deserve anything. She didn't stay home and take care of our mother. She went out and partied. I'm the one that stayed home. I deserve all the money. You ever heard people say that? I've read, you know, Dear Abby, and they complain to their to Dear Abby about their fate. That's sort of the world standard, isn't it? You know what? Whatever you make, well, that's up to you. God must think different than us, don't you suspect? He's willing to forgive and forget, isn't he? You know, it says in 1 John, is a very interesting verse. 1 John, chapter 1, let's go to verse 5. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me read that again. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. There's a lot of people in this world that they won't admit they've ever sinned. I've made mistakes. I haven't really sinned. They don't want to confess their sins. They apologize for their mistakes, their errors. But the Bible says, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. And not only that, you're making God into a liar. He knows you've sinned. This prodigal son, he said, I've sinned before you. It's not that I've sinned against you. I've sinned before. You knew I was sinning. Father's pretty smart. He probably kept up with the son. He, you know, had his messenger would tell him what the son was doing and everything. And he was brokenhearted all the way at seeing his son. You know, the Bible, Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit that is within you. See, when you sin, you don't only sin against yourself. You're sinning before God. You're sinning against God. And God has sent the Holy Spirit to be in your heart, and you're grieving it. It's grieving. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, Paul said. See, this is the thing. You say, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. That's not what God says. You're calling him a liar. No, don't do that. Don't make that mistake. He has sent a representative of Jesus Christ into your heart. And when you sin against the Holy Spirit. And he grieves. He hurts. People say, oh, no, he's just a spirit. He doesn't feel anything. Oh, yes, he does. And God also hurts. Now, I don't fully understand these things. None of us do, but I know it's true. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. Did this second son want to have fellowship? No, no. I don't want to have fellowship with the younger son. Man, he's a sinner. He's a bad person. He took my father's money, and now he wants to wear the best robes and the, the jewelry and eat all the great foods. He doesn't deserve it. Verse 30 says, but as soon as this son, thy son was come, which hath devoured, he's still complaining, you see. You've never given me a big festival like this, and I've never transgressed against you in any way. Verse 30 said, but he tells the father, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He devoured everything you gave him, just wasted his money with harlots. Wow. And you give him the fatted calf. And the father, verse 31, said unto him, son, well, excuse me just a minute, but he said, son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. Wow. Now this is confusing, isn't it? Does this confuse you a little bit? He says to the son, son. He makes him understand, you're my son. You're ever with me. And all that I have is thine. Now was he going to take it from the first son? He didn't. The son had the best robe. He had the best food. They're having a party for him. He had the ring put on his hand. He had everything, didn't he? Seemingly. But he's telling the second son, son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. Verse 32, the father continues talking to the second son, and he says, it was meet, that means it was only right, that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Now, I had a brother. I have two brothers. I had one who's in heaven now, and I have one that's still on earth with me. The one that's in heaven died at age 56 of an unexpected heart attack. He was perfectly healthy. Everybody said, back, he was a lot healthier than me. Had a good build. He exercised. Always was worried about his health, and he ate right. And I was so glad when he became a Christian. And it was during my ministry, and he became a Christian. And he went to church with me, and after church, he came up and hugged my neck. And he said, you know, Tex, we're twice brothers. We're twice brothers. We're brothers, of course, in the blood and flesh, and now we're brothers in the spirit. Wow. That meant a lot to me. It wasn't long after that he passed away. And when they called me, I was absolutely shocked. Having all six brothers and sisters, he was the first to die in the family. Said he died of a heart attack. Well, I didn't know he had a heart problem. Well, the doctor said he didn't. He died of something they call arrhythmia. Arrhythmia. His heart, he said, you know, I'm just tired. And he just laid down to take a nap. Never woke up again. You never know when God's going to come for you, my friends. But I know this much. He was my brother in the spirit. And that means a lot to me because that's eternal. And I know I will see my brother again. Maybe you have a brother like that. Maybe you have a sister. Maybe they're not the best. Maybe they're pretty slummy. Maybe they're just bums. But don't give up on them, friends. No. Don't give up on them. Because brothers and sisters can be treasures. They can be diamonds. They can be the old lump of coal that turns beautiful. And who are we to say they won't? Well, I'm very proud of my brother. Think about him all the time. And his kids.
And to me, my brother is very precious. Both brothers, in fact, are very precious. The father says, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Now, I pray, the Bible doesn't go and tell you what happened next, but I pray that this second son went into the festival and forgave his brother and took his brother for himself. You know, back in the old days, I remember they used to have a lot of businesses. They don't have them anymore. But, you know, they put the sign outside, this merchandise store, this general store is owned by so-and-so, and they would say the Cariff brothers or the Smith brothers. Remember the old cough syrup and cough drop they used to have, Smith brothers? Brothers. Brothers used to be closer than they are now. They seem to separate, physically, I mean. And it's very sad. Because back in the old days, families stayed together. And you see a lot of brothers, and they'd even name the business after both brothers, or maybe all three or four. I hope this brother did that. I hope he got over his angriness. Because the Bible says that we have fellowship one with another. If you hate your brother, then you're not part of God. Now, that's a tough thing to swallow. That's not the world standard. If you've got a sorry brother, you're going to be angry at him. Seems like, but God has a different standard, doesn't he? God walks in the light, and if we have that light, we should have fellowship one with another. We should love the brethren, the Bible says, over and over. We should love the brethren. And I think a brother is not only my flesh and blood brother, but someone else I meet. I don't care if he's a Mexican or a German or an American or what he is, a black man. If he knows Jesus Christ, he's my brother. So I love him too. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, if this brother, the second brother, did forgive the younger son, and they did become as one, so to speak, then I think God will come in both of their hearts and cleanse them both. And they'll both be happy now. You know, God has a principle I'm going to tell you about. Now, this is just Tex Mars speaking, but I think it's reasonable. There's a principle called synergy. You ever heard that word? Synergy. It goes this way. Now, I'm sort of giving it a rough understanding. Please don't make me comply with science, okay? But if you have one and you put another one with it, you have two. Okay. You put a third with it, you have four. Oh, wait, hold on just a minute. Did I have four? Yes, you did. And I add another one, I might have seven. And I add yet another one, I might have 12. Now, how does that doesn't add up in math, does it? But synergy gives you that. It says that, you know, if you're in a committee meeting and there's three people, okay. But if you add a fourth one, sometimes that makes it the same as six or seven. That's synergy. God sort of does his kingdom that way. Now, God could be independent. He doesn't need us, really. He loves us, and he's chosen us. And I'm not going to give him up. I'm glad he does. But, you know, he really doesn't need us, but he uses us. We're his instruments. And it seems like he's got something for everyone. Did you ever notice that, my friends? Now, you may say, well, I'm not fit for the kingdom of heaven. I can't really do anything. I'm not musical. I can't sing. I can't preach. What good am I for? Why would God want me? But you know what? He has decided he cannot do without you. He loves you, and he has a place for you. You know, I was in the Air Force, and all the people used to argue all the time. The pilot says, I'm better than the navigator. And the navigator says, we're as good as the pilot. And the guy working on the aircraft says, well, if it wasn't for me, your airplane wouldn't even get up. And the cook said, well, it wasn't for me. All of you would go starving. Well, who's the best? Who is the most important? You can't do without any of them. And all of them together give you synergy. Well, God's like that. He's got a special place for you and for me. Now, my place may be not as special as yours, but it's still a place. Well, we're going to look at more synergy and more of the prodigal son and the father, and just notice some things about them that I think are quite unusual. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. And stay with us, because next week we're going to have another great program here on Bible Home Church. It's wonderful being with you. I'm Tex Mars. May God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.